Go with me to Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Job 33, 14 through 16. Put a marker there because we're going to get to that in just a little bit. Then go to Genesis chapter 41, verses 15 through 27. Genesis 41, 15 through 27. We're going to get to that in just a second. So like Kara said, we are in week two of the dream series, and we're talking about dreaming with God. And last week, Bill kicked it off with a message that was just fire. It was awesome. If you were not able to hear that or be here, I really encourage you to go to currenttolife.com, go to the sermon archives, watch it, check it out. It was incredible. And it will inspire you, encourage you, challenge you, all of that good stuff. So you need to go see that. And so today I want to stay on that topic of dreaming with God, but I want to talk about a different way that we dream with God, and that is in nighttime dreaming. And yes, I am talking about the ridiculous and absurd images that parade through your mind while you are sleeping. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I can hear a lot of you saying, maybe you even said it last week, I have to fix this. I'm just a little bit, you know, something. So I can hear what some of you are saying, and you may have been thinking about it all week, as last week Bill told you that we were going to be talking about dreaming today in the night, nighttime dreaming. And some of you may have thought, okay, what? Are they serious about that? Is that even a thing? I mean, that sounds hokey. That sounds New Age. That sounds like it's spiritism. Is this even scriptural or biblical? And I want to encourage you by telling you, yes, it is. The Bible is full of instances when God spoke to humans through dreams. In fact, there are 21 different dreams that are recorded in both the Old and in the New Testaments. And as you look at those dreams, we see that God is using dreaming to convey all types of divine messages to humans. Some of those dreams contain warnings, some contain revelation, while others are providing instruction or correction. And still, there are some dreams that are for encouragement, or some that are meant to prepare the dreamer for something. And then there are other dreams that are prophetic in nature, or dreams that are declaring judgment. So there is certainly biblical precedence for God communicating with humans through dreams during sleep. And generally, those dreams are parables. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you'll remember, last summer we did a series called A Summer in the Parables, where we dug into all of the parables that Jesus taught in the Gospels that are found in the New Testament. And at that time, we defined what a parable is, and it's the same idea applied now to dreaming. So a parable is an earthly story that is full of symbolism and imagery that conveys a heavenly meaning. So usually dreams, or we can call them nighttime parables, are symbolic in nature. That means they are not just ridiculous and absurd images that are parading through your head. Instead, they are symbols that are being presented to you in unusual ways to give you a divine message. And I've got the perfect example for you in our first passage, Genesis chapter 41, verses 15 through 27. Now, this is a passage that Bill referred to last week in his message. And he was discussing the journey of Joseph. And so we're just going to dip back into that and expound on it a little bit. So as you may remember, when Bill was talking about it last year, Joseph found himself in prison. And he was in prison for 2 years. And during the time that he was in prison, he interpreted a couple of dreams for the cupbearer and the baker to Pharaoh. And so when they were released from prison, one was killed and one was released and restored back to their position, they told Joseph, I will remember you to Pharaoh because you interpreted my dream and you've done it correctly, and so I'm going to remember you to Pharaoh. But, you know, he forgot all about Joseph. And so 2 years later, he is still sitting in prison when Pharaoh has two dreams. And he couldn't find anyone to interpret them for him. Not the sorcerers or the magicians or any of the wise men of his court. No one could tell him what those mean. And so as the cupbearer is watching the parade of people come through and try to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and none of them could get it correct, he remembers Joseph. And he tells Pharaoh, hey, I know a guy. He's in prison, but I bet he could help you. And so this is where we're going to pick up in the story. Joseph has been released from prison, and he is standing before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is about to tell him his dream. Verse 15. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means to set you at ease. Okay, let's stop right there. That's the first thing I want us to note, is only God can tell you the meaning of a dream, because God is the giver of the dream. And as the giver, he's the only one who knows what his intentions were when he gave it to you. So that's important to know. So Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. In my dream, he said, I was standing on the bank of the Nile River, and I saw seven fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. But then I saw seven sick-looking cows, scrawny and thin, come up after them. I have never seen such sorry-looking animals in all the land of Egypt. These thin, scrawny cows ate the seven fat cows. But afterwards, you wouldn't have known it, for they were still as thin and as scrawny as before. And then I woke up. Okay, so that's the first dream. Okay, he wakes up, he falls asleep, and he dreams again. So he's going to continue. In my dream, I also saw seven heads of grain, full and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then seven more heads of grain appeared, but these were blighted and shriveled and withered by the east wind. And the shriveled heads swallowed the seven healthy heads. And I told these dreams to the magicians, but no one could tell me what they mean. And Joseph responded, both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh, let's stop right there. God is telling Pharaoh. How is he telling him? Through a dream. So God speaks through dreams. God communicates pertinent information through dreams. Okay, we got to get that. So God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. And the seven healthy cows and the seven healthy heads of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The seven thin, scrawny cows that came up later and the seven thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represent 7 years of famine. And then he goes on to give Pharaoh more insight about the dreams, but I want us to stop right here. Now, you can learn a lot about dreams in this one passage. I've already pointed out two things to you. Number one, only God can interpret the dream. And number two, God is actually communicating through dreams, okay? But what I really want us to take note of right now is to see the fact that this is a parable. God is using earthly elements to convey a divine message. I know the dream looks ridiculous and nonsensical to our human reasoning, because in real life, do grains of head eat? No, that's absurd. They don't have mouths. They can't consume anything outside of themselves. Do cows eat each other? No. Cows are herbivores. Everybody knows that. They're not carnivores. And they're certainly not cannibals. They wouldn't eat each other, right? So it seems like it's nonsense, but the reality is it's not. Because cows aren't cows in this scenario. Heads of grain are not grain in this scenario. They're symbols that represent something. And Joseph told us exactly what those two things are representing. The healthy ones were years. Years of abundance when they prospered agriculturally. The diseased ones represented years when they did not prosper agriculturally. And so the warning in the dream to Pharaoh is you're going to have some great years, seven, because there were seven healthy cows. You're going to, and seven healthy heads of grain. You're going to have 7 years of abundance. But immediately following that will be 7 years of famine. So severe, they will consume everything that you saved from the seven good years, and it still won't be enough to cover it. And thereby, your nation is going to be destroyed. It was all about symbolism. And this is not the only dream that's recorded in the Bible where symbolism is used. God is constantly using symbols to give us divine message. And we think that dreams dreams are ridiculous and absurd because we are taking those symbols literally. We will take those symbols literally no matter how real the dream may have felt to us, no matter how it may have affected our emotions during the dream or how powerful an impact it left on our soul. We just simply dismiss it like it's nonsense because it doesn't make any sense to our logical reasoning and understanding. But the reality is most dreams are very important and vital and valuable information directly from the Father to us. They are not the result of eating pizza before you went to bed. Job 33:14-16. That's our second passage, and it really emphasizes what I'm saying to you right now. It says, indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls upon men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and he seals their instruction that he may turn man aside from their conduct and keep man from pride. God speaks once, yes, twice, and no one notices it. Because when he is giving us dreams, visions in the night, when we're asleep on our bed, we discount them as nonsense and silliness. Y'all, God is talking to us. He is talking to us in the night. God has been talking to you in the night. I know some of you have said, I want to hear from God so bad. I want to connect with God. I want to know he's here. And every night he's downloading dreams right into your heart. And you're missing it. You see, when we're sleeping, God has the opportunity to communicate with us outside of our logical understanding of time and space. When we sleep, the logic and the conscious mind have been powered down, have been turned off, so to speak. And so our mind isn't active and it's not processing information the way it normally does. And so it's during that time he's able to bypass our lower logic in order to impart his higher logic to us. Yes. This is exactly what Isaiah 55:8-9 says. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, because the plans, the intentions, the thoughts, the methods, the thinking of God is so superior to ours, he has got to get around our inferior human reasoning and rationale in order to reveal the things to us that we need to know. And so as we're sleeping and we're powered down, he's opening up our ears. And he's whispering words of instruction and correction and encouragement and revelation and direction and prophecy and wisdom and so much more right into our heart. Yes. Y'all, that is such a picture of intimacy to me. It is such a picture of a caring, loving father who is taking care of his children. You know, as I'm studying for this, this memory comes to mind. You know, most of you know our oldest daughter, Gabrielle, is a type 1 diabetic. She was diagnosed when she was 5. And nighttime is a scary time for diabetics because all kinds of things can happen and you're not aware of it because you're asleep. And so frequently we would have to get up at 3:00 in the morning and do a finger poke and check her blood sugar and that kind of thing. But on the nights that we didn't have to do that, we would often wake up and be concerned. And Bill, I would often wake up in the middle of the night and find that Bill was not in bed with me. And I tell you exactly where he was. He was sitting in her room watching her. He was laying at the foot of her bed interceding for her. Just making sure she was okay. He was covering her. That's exactly what Father God is doing to us in the night as we sleep. As we're curled up on our pillows, snuggled down inside of our blankets, Father God is just hovering over us, watching us as we sleep, loving on us. The Spirit of God is interceding for us and then depositing rich truths inside of us while we're sleeping. It's such a beautiful thing to me. You know, did you realize that the average person spends about one-third of their life sleeping? One-third. So if you live to be 75 years old, that means you should have spent a collective total of 25 years sleeping. That's a lot. It feels like a lot. And of the 25 years that you spend sleeping, scientists tell us through research that we spend 6 of those sleeping years dreaming. 6 years of continual dreaming. Or you could say it like this, 2,190 days of nonstop dreaming. Or 3,153,600 minutes of perpetual dreaming. That's a lot of dreaming. Can you imagine what in the world God could be saying to you in 6 years of nonstop dreaming, 2,190 days, 3.1 million minutes? What could God be saying to you? That breaks down to about an average of 4 dreams per night. Every person, 4 dreams. Some will dream a little bit more, some will dream a little bit less. It brings the average to 4 dreams per night. What a good father. He didn't just dump all of that on you at one time and expect you to sort through it and memorize it and then know how to deal with it. No, no. He's coming to you night by night with bite-sized, digestible pieces of things that you need to know to help you step by step along the way. God's talking to you. He's speaking to you. He's coming to you every night, giving you exactly what you need. It's pretty amazing. Now you might say to me, okay, Kim, well, that sounds all good and fine, but I don't dream. I don't dream at all. Well, let's talk about that for a second. You might dream, but you might not remember any of those dreams. You might wake up with the realization that you think something might have gone in your head, and as you try to remember it, it just kind of dissipates with the morning sun, and you have no idea. Well, I would say to you that might be because you don't value dreams. You're not expecting to hear from God in the night. And so, you don't plan for it. You don't make room for it. You don't look for it. So maybe you dream and you just are really not realizing it. We can also go through seasons when we don't dream as frequently as others because we have a lot of stress or because we've got some health issues. Those things can keep us from dreaming as well. And then I believe that there are some people who will dream more than others. Remember, I said the average is 4 per night. Everybody dreams, but the average is 4 per night, so some are more and some are less. Bill and I are a great example of this. I want y'all to know that it is a circus up here in vivid living technicolor every night. I dream almost every single night, and I remember the dreams. I usually wake up in the morning and say, good morning, want to hear what I dreamed? Bill, on the other hand, dreams, but he only seems to remember about 2 to 3 a week. I'm like, wow, keep up, brother. I've got 2 to 3 a night. But that's our normal. That's our normal, okay? So some are going to dream more than others. Some will just they're just hardwired that way. However, I do believe that many of us are dreamers and we don't know it because we don't prepare ourselves to dream. And what I mean by that is that if you're going to dream, you actually have to sleep. Some of you, when I said you should be sleeping a collective total of 25 years over the course of your life, thought, what a waste. I got too much to do. Who's got time to sleep? I got too many kids. I'm working too many jobs. There's too much to see. I don't want to sleep 25 years. Well, number one, your body was designed to sleep. That's how God made it. So if you don't, you won't live 75 years, I promise. You got to sleep. Your body needs that. But in order to dream, your body has to get into REM, R-E-M, rapid eye movement sleep. That is the part of sleep where you're almost dead. Everything has come to a screeching halt. And that is when scientists tell us dream activity begins. If you don't get into REM, then you're not going to dream. That's how God created it. So if you are, if you do not get constant, good, deep sleep, night after night after night after night, then your body is living in crisis mode. And when you do go to sleep, they are scrambling, desperately trying to repair and restore and fix stuff so that they can at least get you in an operational mode before your feet hit the ground again. Y'all need to eat, sleep somewhere between 7 and 8 hours a night. And if you're sleep deficient, it will take you a while to catch up so that you can begin to dream. If you have sleep apnea that you don't treat, your body won't let you get into REM. Therefore, you won't dream. If you leave your TV on or you're sleeping with music or you have a noisy sleeping environment, it can prevent your body from getting into REM, and therefore you will not dream. So you have to bring yourself to a place where you're preparing to hear from God through dreaming. And if we value the Word, then we have to value dreams, because the Word reveals that God is communicating to us through dreams. More than just a way to deliver messages to us, God is actually, through dreams, inviting us to pursue Him. God could very easily tell you exactly what you need to know in a very precise and succinct way in the middle of the night or any other time of the day, and you would be left with no questions. You would know exactly what that meant. But He has chosen to cloak this information in a parable so that you will press into Him for the answer. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out." You see, when God hides a message in symbolism, He's not playing some type of cosmic joke on us. He's not trying to frustrate us or to dangle a carrot in front of us to tease us. He's actually inviting us to pursue His heart, to search His heart for clarity and understanding. You could look at it this way. Dreams are prompts to pray. They are invitations for conversation. Whatever He's giving you in the night, He is saying, "I want to talk to you about this. I've got wisdom. I've got insight. I've got direction. I've got correction. I have something that you need about what you're dreaming about. Let's talk about it so I can give you what you've got to have to navigate through this situation." You see, whether He's warning you or He's giving you revelation or instruction or encouragement, He wants to get really intimate and personal with you about that and give you the details face to face. And so He might be prompting you to pray preventative prayers, and He's showing you something and He's saying, "I want you to pray about this so that what the enemy has planned for you, we divert. We stop, we put a halt to, and you stay on the straight path. You don't get sucked into the crooked path." He may be giving you a dream about work and maybe revealing something to you about a coworker. It's not so that you can go to work and tattle on them or so that you can approach them and tell them, "Shame on you, I know some stuff about you." No, what He's saying is, "I want to do something in your coworker's life. And so if you'll talk to me about this together, we'll partner and we'll rock their world. We'll bring light to them in the darkness." Everything that He's telling you is an invitation to dialogue with Him, to investigate His Word, to discover His heart, to find out what His plan is, His purpose is for your life and your situation. And as someone who dreams, I cannot tell you how valuable dreams are to me and how they have changed the trajectory of my life. I have been encouraged and corrected and directed, and I have been given wisdom. I've had peace imparted to me through dreams. Most of you know that my dad passed away the end of July. And so about the second or so week of July, I woke up that morning from a dream that I'd had that my dad was dying and that death was imminent for him. He'd had a stroke about 2.5 years ago and never really fully recovered, and he was experiencing some new difficulties, but you just never know about things like that. But I had this dream, and it was just so clear to me. And so I got up and I called my parents. And I talked to them for a few minutes, and my mother said something. She had no idea of the dream. And she said something to me that confirmed precisely what the Lord had said to me in the dream. And when I got off the phone, I told Bill, and he said, "You're going home." And so he bought me a ticket. And 2 days later, I went to Louisiana and spent a whole week just being with my daddy. I listened to him as he talked about his excitement of seeing Jesus and getting a brand new body. I clipped his fingernails and gave him a manicure, and we talked about all kinds of stuff. I told him how much I loved him and what a great dad he was. And he told me how proud he was of me. I spent a full week. And then I came home, and just 10 days later, Jesus came and got him. What a gift. What a gift. That's one of the most beautiful gifts Jesus has ever given to me. And he gave it to me in a dream. If I had not valued dreams, I would have missed ever seeing my daddy one more time on this side. God is telling us all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. You have to value dreams and understand the significance and the importance of dreams in order to get that. So this morning, I want to invite you to dream. I want to invite you to open your mind and your heart to the reality that God's dreams are actually intimate messages that he is giving to you in the night. I want to invite you to discover a connection with Father God that you may have been missing that has the potential for changing your life. And so on the screen behind me and in YouVersion, there are some resources for you to check out on dreaming. And we've got a gift for you. We created a dream card. And so during the host, when they close, we will be handing these out to you before you leave. But it contains a lot of information that you might come across in a dream, like numbers. Numbers are important in dreams. So here's what the Bible says numbers mean. If you're dreaming in color, that's definitely from God. And if you notice a color stands out to you, that's important. So here's what, from the biblical perspective, colors mean. And then on this side, here's some symbols that you might find in dreams. Now, this is not the law. This does not mean that you take this, and every time you dream about a rat, it means you have a disease. That's not what this means. What this is a conversation starter between you and God. Okay, so God, I've dreamed about this rat. It might be talking about disease or deceit, that rats are generally not good. So what are you trying to tell me right now? You see what I'm saying? This is just an idea for you. Don't take it as the law. But the reason why we're providing you with resources and the dream card, and inside YouVersion, I have listed the top 20 dreams that most people have with a little insight as to what they may mean. Because how many of you have a dream that's repetitive? You have it over and over and over again. God said, come on, wake up. I'm trying to tell you something right here. Like, how many of you dream that you're naked in public? It's okay, raise your hand. Lots of people dream that. Yeah, that dream is not really about you being naked in public. It's about transparency and vulnerability. He's wanting to tell you something about that. How many of you have a dream that you're losing your teeth? Yeah. You know what he's saying to you? What do you do with your teeth? I want you to think. Think parabolically here. What do you do with your teeth? You chew. And that enables you to digest. If your teeth are falling out, you're losing your ability to chew and digest information from a spiritual perspective. Yeah. God's telling us all kinds of stuff. And so I gave you the top 20 dreams inside the YouVersion app. Don't look at it now to see if you're dreaming those. Hang on to it. Stay with me for just a few more minutes. But the reason why the resources and the top 20 dreams and the dream card is I do not want you to go home and Google dreams, because craziness is going to come up. And I do not want you to get a non-biblical perspective or understanding or an attempt to interpret dreams. Because what did Joseph say to Pharaoh? Only God. If God is speaking it, then only he can tell you what he means by it. So if you're using some crazy new age speculation, you're going to go off the cliff. If you are using humanistic tools that were created by the science of psychology for interpretation, you're going to be messed up, because Freud and Jung have no idea what they were talking about. I don't care how many degrees they had and how many books they've written or how many philosophies they have penned. They do not know the heart and the mind of God. Amen. So I don't want you to try to discern your dreams with any of that junk, because you're going to do yourself harm. I wanted to give you some tools and resources to help you connect with what God is doing in the most pure, honest way that you can possibly do. So you've got to let God interpret your dreams. You have to let Holy Spirit tell you whether this dream was from Father God and what it means, or whether or not it was from the enemy. And if it's from the enemy, we don't really care what he says, so we flush that. But I have to be sure that I'm flushing the right stuff. And only Holy Spirit can tell me that. And yes, for those of you who say, what? Yeah, the enemy can give you dreams. He can harass and terrorize you in the night through dreams. And I know this on a very personal level, because before I understood the significance of dreaming, the enemy harassed me night after night after night for decades. My earliest memories of dreaming, I was about 5 years old. I can tell you precisely what the dream was. I remember the bed, I remember the bedroom, I remember the house and everything. And I would wake up terrified in the night. And my parents were great parents. They would comfort me, assure me it's just a dream, pray for me, put me back in the bed, and leave me in the room where I was terrified. So I learned not to tell them, but to grab my pillow and army crawl in their bedroom and lay at the end of their bed or beside their bed, so it was just in the room with them, because I was so afraid. And I carried this with me into adulthood, where I began to actually sleep in a bed with another human, which was the most amazing thing to me in the whole world, because now I'm not alone. I don't have to army crawl anywhere. Ha! Person right here. But bless his heart, when he gets to heaven, he's getting extra stuff, because I have woken him up from a dead sleep with blood-curdling screams more times than I can care to count. And I wasn't even awake. And he would wake me up, holding me, telling me, it's okay, it's okay. You're all right. I'm here. You're here. It's all good. That's not true. That's not real. And finally, we got a clue. And we realized, this is the enemy. This is the enemy terrorizing me in the night. And so before we would go to bed, Bill would begin to take authority over my dreams. And when the enemy woke me up with a nightmare, we would take authority over it right then and there. And we have progressed so far that I have not screamed in the middle of the night in a long time. And now this is what happens. Before I even wake up, Bill says he hears me go, "It's okay, it's okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Jesus is here, I'm okay. Okay." Which is a lot better than hearing "Woo!" at 3 a.m. So like, I'm wearing his heart out. Bless his heart. And so yes, the enemy can come against you in the middle of the night, preventing you from sleep and hijack your dreams. So, all of this to say, this is one big invitation into dreaming. So I want to ask a couple of questions. The first one I want to say, if you do not dream, but you want to start dreaming, you want to start hearing from God in the night, would you stand up? Because I want to pray for you. This is very exciting for you. I'm excited. Bobcats, I love that you and Bernice are standing up. That even at your age, you're like, let's do this. I want to see. I love it. So let me give you some tips before I pray. Number one, you need to prepare yourself to dream. Don't go to bed with your TV on or music going unless it's going to shut off pretty quickly. You don't need sound all night long. You need to sleep a good 7 or so hours so that you can get into REM. You need to buy a journal and keep it on your nightstand. See, I value dreams. Once I figured out this is God speaking to me, I bought a journal. It stays on my bedside. And when I wake up, I immediately write it down. And then I immediately tell him. I've sealed it in my memory in two separate ways. It's written and it was spoken. Then it becomes a part of my conversation with God that day. What are you telling me? What are you showing me? What are you revealing to me? And today I can open up my journal and read dreams from years ago, and they are as vivid and crystal clear to me as the time I was dreaming them. So you have to determine, this is important to me, and I value it, and I will take these steps in order to hear from God and the messages that he wants me to have in the night. So are you ready for that? All right, so Father, I come before you on behalf of every person that's standing this morning, and I ask that you would show them precisely what has kept them from dreaming all of these years. I ask for that revelation to be imparted to them right now. Now, whatever just jumped into your head, crossed your mind, that's it. That's what has prevented you from dreaming. So I want you to make a commitment to God right now that you're going to deal with that with his help and get that obstacle out of the way. Father, we thank you for that revelation that you have given them, and I pray that you would continue to show them things that are hindering them from connecting to you in the night. I ask you, Father, to begin to download dreams into their spirit, into their soul, every night as they sleep. That as they pursue dreaming, that you would just open the floodgates, and that you would give them, Father, what you've given me, technicolor dreams that May they feel the intimacy of those streams. I ask that you would help them to remember what they dream. And Holy Spirit, give them what they need to pursue the Father's heart for understanding of the dream. Protect them from any outside force that would try to influence interpretation, but Holy Spirit, may it be pure and true from you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to us through dreams, and that it is not selective, but we all get to hear it. And I agree with every person standing that today they become dreamers and they start a journey of a lifetime of dreaming with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I cannot wait to hear you say to me, I'm dreaming. I had a conversation with Penny Ledesma a while ago about dreaming, and she realized I don't sleep enough to dream, and so she committed to sleeping more. And I'm telling you, the first night or so, she texted me and said, oh, I dreamed. And I said, it's amazing what happens when you sleep. You dream. Okay, so second group of people. If you are a dreamer, but you haven't been understanding your dreams, you haven't valued dreams, you have not remembered what you were dreaming, or you would like to dream more, would you stand up? Hey, you bunch of dreamers. That's pretty cool. All right, so you already know that God has been speaking to you. Or at least you're aware that there's activity in your mind at night. Maybe you've just connected the dots that God is actually speaking to you. And so I'm going to pray that from this point forward, your dreams are going to shift as you connect with the realization that this is Him. This is Him. How intimate is this? This is Him kissing you on the forehead at night, breathing into your soul the things that He wants you to know. All right, are you ready? So, Father, I thank you that each one of these people have been dreaming, and I thank you that you've allowed them to see it and to remember these dreams. And I ask you, Father, at this point, that you would show them, give them clarity for all the things that they have been dreaming but they've missed. Those repetitive dreams that you keep tapping them on the shoulder with, that you would open up their understanding in their mind, just like a flower opens to the sun, and that understanding and interpretation would just come to them through you, Holy Spirit. I ask you that you would help them to remember their dreams, every single dream, that you would help them to remember it, that you would give them the fortitude, the diligence to get up and write these things down, that they would begin to cherish them like we cherish diamonds and gold, that they would seek your heart on this. Holy Spirit, give them the endurance to seek your heart, the patience that even if it doesn't come instantaneously, that you will reveal it to them in the proper time. We thank you that you're just downloading new things in, that you're bringing revelation, that you're bringing clarity, and that you're teaching them about this, Holy Spirit. And we thank you in advance for wisdom and revelation and insight that is going to come out of them and change the trajectory of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I've got one more question. If y'all will sit down. Is there anyone in here that is tormented by nightmares? I want to pray for you. Okay, the first thing that I want to point out, I didn't say this in the first service, but the first thing I want to point out, mare is another word for demon. And so a nightmare are visitations from a night demon. I wish I had known that all those years ago, because I certainly would have not put up with that nonsense. I thought it was just me. So there could be several reasons why you have nightmares. Number one, it could be that this is one of the primary ways that God wants to communicate with you, and the enemy is hijacking this avenue of communication. That was the case for me. Because I'm such a vivid and active dreamer, the enemy knew that if he could keep me from dreaming or dread dreaming, or wish that I wouldn't dream, or that the dreams that I had would be so scary that I would just try to shut that part of my life down. And for years it kept me from connecting with what God is saying to me in the night. The second reason why you can have nightmares is because you have a door open that gives the enemy permission to speak to you. So if you're participating in witchcraft, if you are, and by participating, I don't necessarily mean that you've got a Ouija board and do seances, though those aren't good things. I just mean at some point you opened a door. Maybe you're watching shows that have witchcraft, vampire shows, that kind of stuff. You just opened the door and said, devil, you kind of come and go as you choose. Do whatever you want to do. If you're watching things that are scary, horror movies, people are getting murdered, terrorizing, make you just sit on edge, you're preparing yourself to hear from the enemy in the night. So if you've got a door open, you got to deal with that. Confess, repent, and close the door. Because until you do, he has permission to come and go. If you are engaged in pornography, you're living in active sin, you're giving the enemy permission to harass you in the night. And until you deal with that, he can keep coming. So if you want to get rid of nightmares, then more than likely you're going to have to close a door. And so we're going to ask the Father to reveal to you what door is open. We're going to confess and repent, shut the door, and then declare that he's finished. He's now trespassed.